Joshua 1 and verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, as we look into your word today, I pray that you'll help me to be a help to your people. Help us to commit the word of God to daily reading and meditation. Help us to commit obedience unto all that you command us to do, that we might walk with you in a life of pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, we need your help and guidance and direction. We face many obstacles, as Joshua and the children of Israel did. But we see a testimony here today, how that you have the power for your will to be done. You can work through your people to accomplish what you want done. So we yield to you and ask for your help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second Sunday of the new year. We face the unknown while we're called to do what seems impossible at times. Being leaders of families, earning an income, living in a godly life with our family in an ungodly world in which we live. The Seabees in World War II were naval construction. They followed the combat units into territory and built sleeping quarters for the military. Quite often those sleeping quarters were a cot and a frame with a tent thrown over it. And that was often the field barracks for troops to live. They built airstrips and bridges and roads and cleared territory for forward base operations. They often would bring in big equipment and move the jungle back farther from a landing zone or something so they could protect it and see the enemy coming. Their motto was, "The difficult we do immediately. The impossible may take a little bit longer." They were motivated, and they did accomplish things that seemed impossible. The difficult we do immediately, the impossible may take a little longer. Nothing is impossible with God. So whatever we face in life and whatever we face in 2019, we must try to face it in the will of God, and we will have God's blessing. For young people to look at going to college for 4 or 5 or 6 years, probably at a cost of a minimum of $100,000, to get married, to have children, to buy a home. Today the average cost of a house is between $200,000 and $300,000. Buy a car. By the way, if you get married, you'll need two of them. It seems impossible. If you think of all that you need to obtain, it seems so far out of reach when you're just getting started. It's an uphill climb to accomplish those things. But when you look around, you find many people have done it, and there are some shortcuts that you can take to get there. Joshua was being called upon to replace the greatest man the nation of Israel had ever known, Moses. Moses has died. Joshua was his servant. He was the captain of the army under Moses. He'd been with Moses all along, and only he and Caleb had outlived the entire generation, including Moses, who came to the edge that they're at now at Jordan. Almost 40 years earlier, they had come there, but they lacked faith to cross Jordan and go into the land that God had promised to give them. And because of their doubts, God sent them to wander around in the wilderness for those 40 years until all that generation died off, including Moses. And now Joshua is supposed to step up and do what Moses didn't get done. Wow, that's a big job. You're going to face some things in 2019 that you're going to think are difficult tasks. Some of them you'll do immediately, and some of them it's going to take you a little longer because they're going to seem impossible. Hardship. Joshua is being told, first of all, that he's to take the leadership of the people and lead them across the Jordan River into Canaan. He knows they've already been here one time, and they balked as a nation and wouldn't go across. He was one of the 12 original spies that were sent into the land to view out the land and come back with a strategy for the military to go in and take the land that God had promised to give to Abraham. And when he and Caleb and the other 10 spies came back and reported on what they saw, the nation was fearful and they went away. They didn't go across. Joshua and Caleb believed God was able to deliver the land to them as he had promised. But the people saw the obstacles that the 10 spies saw, and they refused to try. Look at Numbers 13 with me. Back up to Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Whole congregation has come to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And the spies brought back word to them, Numbers 13, verse 27. They told him, said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Anak. Anak. Pronounce it either way you want to. Like salmon. You pronounce it salmon if you want to. That fish don't care what you call it, as long as you know what it is. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, actually 10 tribes of Canaanite people that lived in this land that had become so wicked and so vile and so ungodly. God was going to remove them from this land he promised to Abraham and give it to the nation of Israel. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." People can either encourage you or discourage you. The people you spend time with influence your life. And Caleb and Joshua would have influenced people to follow the Lord, to believe God, to obey God, and God would have given the victory. But the others discouraged the people. It got them fearful, got them thinking about the obstacles of the trouble. You may face a crisis in 2019 that you've never faced before. Israel was about to cross over, and they were going where they'd never gone before. Maybe health, maybe finances. Maybe how you manage your time and get it all done. It may be retraining. Every 25 or 35 years, an industry goes completely out of business because something else has come along to take its place, and the people that have been doing that for a long time are going to have to get retrained to be in the job market, or they're going to have to find something else to do. It creates fears. It creates discouragement when people are critical and bitter and blame and talk about all the negative things that go on. Caleb said, "Let's go right now. We're able." Well, he was positive, wasn't he? But he couldn't seem to get all the people to go along with him. The sons of Anak were giants. That's who Goliath was. They were giant men. And it's fearful to look at them in their armor and their armaments. And you go back and read the story in 1 Samuel 17 about David against Goliath and see how he was equipped. And it was scary. He was calling on Israel to send out their biggest man to fight him. And if he could beat him, then the Philistines would serve the Israelites. But if the Goliath could defeat Israel's greatest warrior, then Israel would have to succumb to submit to the Philistines. I like that kind of battle. I thought many times in Vietnam, why don't the generals just come over here and fight? You know, get this thing over with. And that's not usually how war works, though. They were afraid. They wouldn't go out. Saul, the king, was a head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the nation of Israel. He looked good in armor. When David stepped forward willing to fight the giant, he said, "Take my armor." David said, "I can't wear this stuff. It's too big for me. I haven't put it to the test." David went with what he was used to, just the sling and the smooth stones that he got out of the river. He took five of them. The Bible doesn't tell us why he took five. Did he think he was going to miss? We find later the giant Goliath had four brothers. Did David know he might have to fight every one of those brothers? If he killed the one, he might have to fight their brothers? I don't know. Just tell you what the Bible said. He put one in that sling and round, let it go, hit the giant between the eyes, and it didn't make any difference if he was 9 foot tall or 12 foot tall. When he got hit between the eyes with that stone, he went down to the ground. And David took his own sword and chopped off his head. And there are giants that you're going to face, and you're going to feel like your resources of your abilities and your health and your age and your income and all of that are just, you don't know how you're going to get it done. But if God wants you to do it, my friends, He'll provide a way. There are some giant problems in building a church, in raising a family in this world in which we live in today. The absolutes are not the same for young people coming along today that they were in the past. As Christians, our absolutes should be the same. But our society certainly does not honor the same absolutes that our society once honored in the past. There are problems in keeping marriage together. There are problems in getting souls saved and getting into foreign countries on sending missionaries. There are problems of the home, problems of the heart, problems of the hardships that we will face, problems of hazards, traps that Satan puts in our way, problems of help. There are many times we face things we cannot do alone, that we need help, that we must band together. And that's what a church is all about, that we're together to build this work for the glory of God. We face obstacles of people. They go from being hesitant to being heretical. And the people will discourage us. Some talk a good game. Some talk about church and talk about all they do and that sort of thing. But the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. Kind of like the man that had the sign up that said he advertised rabbit burgers for sale back during the Depression. Guy stopped and said, "You got rabbit burgers?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What all are they made of?" He said, "Well, rabbit." He said, "Well, what else?" He said, "Mule." He said, "How much?" 50% rabbit. 50% rabbit, yeah. One rabbit and one mule. You know, there's a lot of people that advertise what they do, But how they spell it and what they actually do can be two different things. It can be all mule if you aren't careful. In Numbers 14 and verse number 1, the people wept when they first tried to go across 39 years earlier. It says in 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God that he'd let us die in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return unto Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And they reasoned with them, and they prayed, and they interceded to God on their behalf, because God would have destroyed them for what they were about to do. In verse 17, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding with the Father for you and I right now in the same way Moses was interceding for the nation of Israel. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, except Caleb and Joshua. Now they're here a second time. 40 years have passed. That whole generation died off. God says, Joshua, step forward. You're going to lead these people across Jordan now. Can you imagine what might have run through his mind? Lord, we've been here one time already and they wouldn't go. What am I going to do differently this time than I did last time? We face obstacles that we don't have the answers on how we're going to accomplish. But God wants us to be that way so that we stay dependent upon Him, so that we come to Him in prayer, so that we seek His intervention into our lives to grant us the way to do His will. Joshua's instructions are the second point this morning. Be strong and of a good courage. Meditate in the Word of God day and night. Obey it. It'll make thy way prosperous and you'll find good success. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be successful. We want to be prosperous. We want to serve the Lord and find His perfect will, and we know that we'll have God's provision and God's protection and God's blessings. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No man will be able to stand against you. It's a wonderful promise, and Joshua was about to be the leader of a nation. You can understand that promise going with that to Joshua. But my friends, the same God is the one who protects you day in and day out and provides for you in the same way. His great promise to us to obey God gives us the motivation that we need to do what He asks of us, because we've seen God work in the past. We've faced obstacles in the past. We've seen hardships. Just like Israel saw miracles in Egypt and miracles in the wilderness, and yet they were afraid to obey God and do what He called them to do. Joshua and Caleb are going to fulfill what God wanted done 39 years earlier. You and I are going to face some obstacles that seem to be beyond us, seem to be impossible, seem to be great hardships, seem to be difficult that we really don't want to face. Israel faced Jordan, and now how are they going to cross? The Bible tells us that Jordan was at flood stage. It was outside its banks. It was like Fort Mill with all the rain that we've had for the last month. Everything was flooded. I saw where somebody posted on Facebook that Israel's source of water has come up like it hasn't in years, because they've been getting a lot of rain also. And that freshwater lake and river is called the Sea of Galilee, is actually fresh water, and that's where all the fresh water from the nation of Israel comes from, and it goes down, eventually runs into the Dead Sea. And all of the construction and building that's gone on for years have been draining water off of that, and it's lowered the lake tremendously. That's where they found the caves with the Dead Sea Scrolls, because of the lowering of the water exposing those things. Well, now it's come back up in a great way. I'm glad for them. I wish the Lord would give them just a little bit of our rain, that we could have a little more dry time. Somebody posted that they needed it to rain at their house. Their mud was starting to dry out, you know. In chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had done dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. God parted the waters and let Israel go across in the same way he had parted the Red Sea. God can make a way when you don't see a way. God can make a way when I don't see a way. God can make a way that seems impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. We have to trust. We have to wait. We have to follow his leadership. And if we do that and we're living pleasing unto God, then he's going to make a way. Will we be willing to cross from where we are now to where God wants us to be this year? They set up monuments. They picked up stones from within the Jordan, and they set them up as a memorial to remember what God has done, to teach their children and their children's children after them of the power of God, of the faith of God, of trust in God, of the miracle-working power of God. And we still serve the same God today. God said in chapter 3, verse 7 to Joshua that he was going to magnify him in the eyes of the people, because he was going to part the waters, and the people were instructed from this point forward, they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The pillar of fire at night and the cloud in the day would no longer be there to lead them and guide them. They had come to their destination. All they had to do was cross over. And from there forward, God would lead the priests, and the priests would carry the ark, and the people were to follow the Ark of the Covenant and encamp around it. But they said, the Bible says here, they had not passed this way before. It was new territory. They were leaving their comfort zone. For all these years in the wilderness, they knew where they were going, around and around. And they knew the manna was there for them. And the provision of the Lord from water, from a rock, and all those things that God had provided. Now they've got to do something different. And we don't like to get out of our comfort zone. I'd like to get involved in the church more, preacher, but I just can't give up any more time in my life to, you know, to teach or to study or to do the things that need to be done. Well, if you can't, God bless you. But we've all had to leave our comfort zone to serve the Lord. If you're going to serve him, I promise you, you'll be called to leave your comfort zone. It'll require a step of faith. They were to step down into the Jordan, and as they took a step, God would take the water out of their way. And God would part the waters. He required a step of faith on their part. Chapter 3, verse 15 reveals it was flood stage. That added a little to the concern. Remember the disciples in the ship with Jesus, and the storm arose and they were afraid. They thought they were going to drown. They thought they were going to die. They were with the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him. They still faced a crisis. And you and I may face a crisis this year because we're serving God, not because we're being disobedient to God. God will give the victory if we obey him and follow him. Chapter 4, verse number 19 tells us it was the 10th day of the first month. God does a work for an obedient people. that all might know that their God is mighty, and that the kings of the nation would fear the God of heaven and the nation of Israel, whose God was on their side. Chapter 5, verse 1 tells us he did. If we walk with God and obey God, and God's magnified in the eyes of the world through us, then we will have the place that we need to be to serve the Lord and walk with God, and the world will be concerned about passing laws and rules and regulations against our God. We've got the start of the new year. This is the 13th day of 2019. And we're supposed to believe God's promises today just as they did in that day. And we're to trust in God's presence with us as Joshua saw the presence of the Lord. We're to follow God's plan as God laid out a plan for them. And we're to trust in God's purpose that we serve Him and please Him and do what He would have us to do. We crossed over into 2019 2 weeks ago, seeking to follow God and go where He wants us to go. We took a step of faith. Each day we get up out of bed and we take a step, and we have to trust the Lord with the results of what's going to take place. It should remind us to pray. It should remind us to trust. It should remind us to seek the Lord in our daily life. God can give us the victory. We can overcome the enemies that are out there, the traps that are out there, the obstacles that are out there. The difficult we'll be able to do right away. The impossible may take a little longer. Joshua circumcised all of the generation that crossed over. For 40 years in the wilderness, they hadn't circumcised their children and renewed their covenant relationship with God. And that all fell on Joshua to do now as they entered the land. It means a new covenant with God. Chapter 5 and verse number 2, God told him to make sharp knives and to circumcise the children. And now in verse number 7, the children whom he raised up in their stead, Joshua circumcised. And this was called Gilgal. The word Gilgal means rolling. And they rolled away the reproach that was upon them because of their disobedience unto God. Friends, God's made a way that we can come to Him and confess our sin and roll the reproach away. God will wash it away, give us a new beginning and a new start. We are to walk with Him and be obedient unto Him and trust Him. And I'm telling you, there may be some crisis. There may be some difficult times. The first thing they did after this was they kept the Lord's Passover. Last Sunday night, we observed the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted that from the Passover. And He said that we are to do it in remembrance of Him. We're do it as honor and glory to the Lord until He comes again. We got a new year, new opportunity, new start. You're going to face some difficulties, but God is able, and God can make us able for the task that He asks of us. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your word. Ask Your blessings on the invitation as we pause for a moment. I pray while folks are praying, would you answer me a question? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, and I thank the Lord for saving me. Slip your hand up where you are to give testimony to the Lord. Thank you. God bless you, brethren. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand, I just want to remember you in prayer. Would you acknowledge that, Lord, I'm not saved, or I'm not sure. I want You to pray for me. Anyone like that this morning? Pray for me. I'm not saved, or I'm not sure. 2019 could be the year we all face the Lord. I urge you, if you don't know, don't put it off. Come and let us take the Bible and show you today. Father, bless because it's for You, because it's to honor Your name and Your word. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God to the hearts of Your people and the way of salvation through the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.